It was the Puritans that stood during the preaching of the word. We're not Puritans here tonight. We are glad that you have chosen to worship with us tonight as we celebrate the Christmas story. Christmas is a unique and meaningful time of the year. We are busy with Christmas programs, Christmas gatherings, shopping endlessly, whether it's online or shopping locally. And now we're looking forward to time with family and friends, food and gifts, Christmas music streaming in the background. These are all good and enjoyable activities. But I believe that we settle for less or far less with too little meaning to the Christmas if this is all that we celebrate. Christmas is so much more. It is unique and meaningful, and has far more meaning than a few days together with family and friends. And so tonight I want us to consider the uniqueness of the Christmas story as we look at Emmanuel, God with us, from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 through 18, at which I will read. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom he said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this time. And Lord, we ask that you would bring light to our minds and heat to our hearts through the gift of teaching and preaching. In Jesus' name. The other gospel accounts give us the events of the Christmas story, the sights and the sounds and the smells. But John, more than the other gospels, actually goes back into eternity. And in the present, he gives us the meaning of the Christmas story when he tells us about the Word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst us. And then he goes on to say that we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father. And then this is how he describes that glory: it's full of grace and truth. And so the first way that John describes Emmanuel, God with us, as the Word. John starts out his gospel in the first verse. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so he's describing the Word as being with God in eternity, being separate from God in eternity, but having relationship with God from eternity. And so then he describes this Word becoming flesh. Why does John describe this person as the Word? Well, I think that words are the ultimate expression of who we are and how we communicate with one another. Let me give you an example. Many of us recognize each other here tonight from around town. We may see each other at Safeway, Save You More, one of the coffee shops, or the gas station. And we may recognize each other, but we don't know each other. We may give each other a nod, a smile, because we're familiar with the face, but we wouldn't say that we know each other because we've actually never met or we've never talked. It's only once we meet and we talk and we interact through our words that we would say, "Oh, I know that person." And so the first thing that we see, or the first uniqueness of Christmas that we see from this text, is that Christmas is unique because it's through the Word that we know God. And it's through the Word, it's only through the Word that we know God. And if you're here today and you don't come from a Christian background, and you would say, "Well, you know what? That's fine for you, David, but I do not believe that the Word or Jesus is the only way to know God. I think that there are multiple ways to know God." Let me push back on that statement. That statement assumes a belief system that you hold. The problem with the belief systems that we hold is that many of us have never questioned our belief systems. We automatically assume that our belief system is correct and another person's belief system that contradicts our belief system is incorrect. And so I would ask you tonight is, do you know, have you ever questioned your own belief system to see if it is true or not, to see if it's valid or not? Or have you ever really considered Christianity enough to know if it's a valid or true belief system? Let me give you an example of a belief system. Have you ever heard of the Flat Earth Society? Now you laugh because you are convinced that the world is spherical, that it is round. But have you ever been around the world to know that it's round? Have you ever investigated it yourself to know for a fact that it is round? Or are you taking the words of another person? See, we believe, well, I'd say you believe, that it is a self-evident truth that the world is round. But those who believe in a flat earth do not believe it's round. And we could go on and on and on about different belief systems that we may hold or we may criticize without, in fact, knowing or questioned or considered the validity or the truth of those belief systems. So the first thing we learn from this text about the uniqueness of Christmas, or the Christmas story of Christmas, is that it is through the Word that we know Jesus Christ. And then John goes on to say that the Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. That is, he became human. He became soft. He became one of us. But he also became vulnerable. He became threatened. He became killable. Recently read of a story that happened in 1964. Her name was Kitty Genovese. The place was Queens, New York. And about 2:30 in the morning, she got home, parked her car about 100 feet from her apartment. And she was, as she walked to her apartment, a man with a hunting knife approached her. She ran to her apartment, but the man overtook her, stabbed her twice in the back. Genevieve screamed, "He stabbed me! Help me!" Lights went on in the apartments around. People looked, people saw, people heard Genevieve screaming. One man even leaned out his window and said to the attacker, "Leave that girl alone." The attacker, fearful that someone may come down to help Genevieve or Kitty, ran off. About 10 minutes later, the attacker returned when he realized that nobody came down to help Kitty. He found Kitty and finished her off. He killed her and he took $49 and left. Now there's some debate as to what actually happened and how many people actually heard, but there are reports that dozens of apartment dwellers heard or saw something. And when the police questioned them as to why they did not come down to help, their responses were everything from, "I didn't want to leave the safety of my apartment. It was too risky. It was too threatening. Or I just didn't want to get involved." God heard our cries and he came down. Despite the threat, despite the risk, despite being killable. And what is even more extraordinary is that God came down with the purpose of dying. And so the uniqueness of Christmas begins with the Word. And it is through the Word, and only through the Word, that we can know God. And the second thing we see about the uniqueness of Christmas is that God became man and became killable for us. And then the third thing that we see from the text, John writes, is that we have seen his glory. The glory as of the only Son of the Father. And when he says that, he means that he saw more than a man in the person of Jesus Christ. That he saw the splendor and the majesty and the beauty of God. It was common knowledge that when Jesus preached, that he preached and taught as someone who had a unique authority, who taught uniquely and differently than all the other religious leaders of the day. And what John is saying is that we saw God in the person of Jesus Christ. And God in the person of Jesus Christ is described by John as the glory is described by John as full of grace and truth. And it is that grace and that truth that overcomes the gap between God and us. If you have ever been violated or a great injustice has come against you, that you have been hurt or offended or violated in any way from another person, it creates a gap between you and that person. And when the injustice is so great that the gap is so far that for the perpetrator to say, "I'm sorry," just doesn't cut it. And sometimes the gap can be so great that it can never be overcome. I have a friend whose family member was violated, and I remember talking to him with the angst and the bitterness and the pain in his own heart, telling me that he could never forgive the perpetrator. The greater the violation, the greater the distance and the greater the gap. The gap between us and God is infinitely greater than any gap between a victim and their perpetrator. And yet God became man to overcome that gap. And that gap is described as grace. Grace that is found because Jesus Christ didn't just live as a man, but he died as God on our behalf, to bridge the gap between us and God. And so let me encourage you tonight, the uniqueness, don't settle for the meaningfulness of family and friends, which are all great things, which is the food and the sweets that you'll eat too much of, that you only have once a year. That's significant, that is unique, and that is meaningful. But don't settle for that. There's much more meaning and significance and uniqueness to the Christmas story. Is that through the Word that you can know God. And because God became man, he became one of us to die on our behalf. And because he was the Word, and because he became a man, he overcame the gap between God and us. So let's pray as we move to the taking an offering. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the uniqueness of Christmas. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to see how much more meaningful Christmas can be for us. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we can know you. And you became a man to die on our behalf. And because of your grace and your mercy, you bridge that gap for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We can have our ushers come forward. We have them forward. We're going to take an offering tonight. And this offering is an offering for the benevolent needs of our community. And we split it three ways. We split it between the Salvation Army, the Homer Food Pantry, and then the benevolent needs in our community. And I'll just tell you, every year we give thousands of dollars away from our church to people who come in off the street looking for help. And so let me encourage you, in the spirit of giving, this is an opportunity to be generous. This is the opportunity to be generous. And this is how, let me encourage you to be generous this way. Grab the person's wallet next to you and give like you have always wanted to give. Good, okay, let me pray for the offering, then we'll take that. Father, just again, we just thank you for how most of us, if not all of us, are blessed beyond our wildest imaginations. Lord, we have life. We have vehicles. We have breath. We have family. We have friends. We have health. We live in one of the most beautiful places in all the earth. And the only thing we lack tonight is a white Christmas. And Lord, that even seems insignificant compared to all the other things that we take so for granted. The heat in the building, the lights above our head, the shoes that we wear. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to do the most amount of good for the most amount of people with the money that we get from this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all, we've projected a child in a manger? Lonely and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Thank you.
Would you join us and stand as we continue singing a couple more Christmas hymns?
Spirit of God. before. His sovereign majesty, may we in glory see, into eternity love and adore. His sovereign majesty, may we in glory see, into eternity love and adore.
C is for the Christ child born that night to be our life.
H is for holy is his name.
R is for holy and rejoice in gladness and joy.
I is for the Mary that God met us.
S is for the star that led the wise men to him.
T is for the truth and grace that was sent our way.
M is for Mother Mary laying human swaddling clothes in the manger.
H for angels sing songs of joy.
S is for salvation, he came to make a way.
God with us by Roy Lesson.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Not in heaven, not out of touch or out of reach.
Not a phantom or a shadow.
Not a legend or a myth.
God with us.
In grace, in truth, in mercy.
God with us in human flesh.
Touchable, seeable, noble.
Emmanuel.
Love breathing, love giving.
Love caring, love dying.
Walking where we walk, crying our tears.
Knowing our pain, feeling our grief.
Bang. Our sorrows.
Emmanuel, God with us.
In the manger, in the temple, on the road.
In the well, by the boat.
Upon the hillside.
In the home, at the table.
Healing the sick, feeding the hungry.
Comforting those who mourn.
Speaking to the multitude and seeking out the individual.
With arms extended and words that beckon.
With a voice that calls, come unto me.
Emmanuel.
God with us.
To believe in.
To follow.
To proclaim.
To seek.
To worship.
To love.
To cherish forever.
Okay. The ushers are going to come around and light your candles. Now, the procedure is to keep your lit candle upright and then to reach in with the unlit candle to take the flame from the upright candle. Vice versa down the row. Never tilt the burning candle onto the unlit candle. You're welcome.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Right.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Put your hand behind the candle, and you slowly but confidently blow it out. And then leave it upright until the wax dries, and then you can give it to the ushers as they go out. I think they have bins or baskets. And then the last thing, if you are here and you are not, have never put your faith in Christ, we have a gift for you that we'd love to give you. It's called The Case for Christianity. It goes over some of the historical and biblical basis for our faith. And again, that would be a free gift to you. Good night. Father, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for the great gift that we have in the Christmas event. We ask, Lord, again, that you would help us to see and help us to find meaning in more than just the activities and the events, but that we would find meaning in the uniqueness of the Christ story and the Christmas story. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas and have a...
See you.